today on Life Talk.
He knows what problems you're dealing with right now. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing is a shock to him. He knows exactly what is going on in your mind and your heart. He knows you intimately, personally, individually, exquisitely, better than any person on earth could ever know you. Jesus knows you personally.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to Life Talk. You know, a lot of people view God as a sort of a distant, hard-to-reach God who maybe created everything but then stepped out of the picture. He doesn't really concern himself with our problems, and he doesn't intervene in world affairs. He's busy with other things. But this is not the God of the Bible. In today's message, we're going to see that our God is a personal God. He's concerned with our struggles, our cares, our problems, and our pains. He wants to help us in our daily trials, and even more, he wants a personal, close-up, deep relationship with his children. I believe today's word is going to encourage you to draw near to him and to confidently share your needs with him, knowing he is there for you. So let's get started as I share part two of the message, God is Personal.
Now, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, I love this, and it's a quick read, but let me just read it to you now. And it's God speaking through Isaiah to you and me. He says, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you. Everybody say, he created me. O Jacob, and he who formed you, he created and he formed us, O Israel. Fear not, and why should we fear not? For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. What do you believe about God? What you believe about God, everything hinges on that. And one thing the enemy will tell you is he really doesn't care about you as a person, especially when you're going through a trial, a really tough time. That's when the enemy slips in and says, where is God? Why is he letting this happen to you? Why hasn't he stopped this? Why hasn't he changed things? And he'll get you to question the character and the nature of God, just like he did in his original attack against the first lady of the world, Eve. Has God said, Eve? Are you sure God said that? You should doubt that God said that. That was his attack, to attack and undermine the character of God. So it's important that we understand that God does intimately care about you and me. He is intimately involved in the affairs of our life. Isaiah said, because he's a personal redeemer and he has called us by our name and we are his, that is all the reason we need to not walk in a spirit of fear. So I want to talk to you today about a few ways that God is personal. And the Bible, I thank God for the Bible, the Word of God. Without it, we wouldn't know hardly anything about God at all except what he has made. But God makes it very clear that he's personal. And one of the first ways we know it is he calls us by our name. Amen. Fear not. Everybody say, fear not. See, now here's why we should not walk in fear. Because I have called you, God has called us by our name. Fear not. I have called you by your first name. I've called you. I know you. I recognize you. I address you by your first name. And Isaiah is not the only one that said this, but Jesus Christ himself said this. He said, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, talking about himself. And he says, to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep, how? By name, and leads them out. Dale Carnegie wrote in his classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, that a person's name is to him or her the sweetest and most important sound in any language. When you use someone's name, it shows you see that person as an individual. When you remember their name, it shows you have interest and respect for that person. When somebody calls you by your name, addresses you by your name, it's the sweetest sound in the universe. He doesn't see us as a nameless face in a crowd. He sees us as individuals that he calls by name. If Jesus were here, he could start over here and start naming your names, every one of you. He would do way better than me. Because there's so many people in our church now, I can't remember all the names. I'm so thankful when I do, but it's very hard to do. But Jesus, if he were here, he'd name every one of you by your first name. Guess what? He's not a, hey, you, Savior. Hey, you. Jesus is never, ever going to address you that way. Hey, you. Have you ever had anybody say, hey, you? You're talking to me? My name's not you. It's impersonal, right? But in heaven, you're not going to need to wear a name tag. Because Jesus knows you by your name. He knows your name. I want you to think about that. He knows your name when you pray. He knows the name of the person praying to him. He knows all about you. Even after his death and burial and resurrection, when Mary Magdalene did not recognize his resurrected body, it says that she recognized him instantly when he said to her, Mary. He knew her by name, and he knows your name, Bill, John, Judy, Becky, Christy, Heather. He knows your name. Now I want you to stop and think about that, that the Savior, the Redeemer of the world, who holds the entire universe together by the power of his word, the mighty Savior, Messiah, Jesus Christ, knows your name. He's personal. Think about that. The Bible reveals so often when God called people, he called them by their first name. When he called Moses, he called him by his name. It says when Moses saw the bush that was on fire, it said he turned aside to look. And when he looked at the bush that was burning, but was not consumed, it says that God spoke out of the bush. And the first thing he said was, Moses, Moses. He called him by his name. And Moses said, here I am. If you call me by my name, that tells me you know me. That tells me you know me as an individual. I'm not just out there. I'm not just part of a crowd. You know me by name. Secondly, he doesn't just know your name, he knows you. He knows you more than you can imagine. He knows you. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Now, that's not just talking about knowing their name. The word know here is the word gnosko, and it means to know somebody by experience, to know somebody firsthand, like you would know your spouse or a best friend from years of experience of relating with them. Jesus knows you intimately and personally that way. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses, the way you're wired emotionally, the things you love, the way you handle stress or not. He knows what problems you're dealing with right now. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing is a shock to him. He knows exactly what is going on in your mind and your heart. He knows what you've been dealing with. He knows how you've been hurt. He knows what your talents are. He knows what your DNA and genetic codes are. He knows you intimately, personally, individually, exquisitely, better than any person on earth could ever know you. Jesus knows you personally. He knows you. When you hurt, he hurts. When you rejoice, he rejoices. When you're perplexed, he wants to help you. When you're in temptation, he wants to deliver you. He watches your every step, knows your every breath. He knows everything about you. All the things you would come to know about somebody else over time, he already knows about you. He's personal. So say with me, he calls me by name. He knows me completely. And third, now this is a mind blower, but watch this. He literally formed you and I in the womb. That's how personal God is. Listen to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, David writes of God's amazing personal touch on us from the moment we were conceived in our mother's womb. First, he literally starts with our conception. Look at the power of the word of God here. Your eyes, in verse 16, Psalms 139, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Substance is literally the Hebrew word for embryo. God's eye was on you when you were still in embryonic form. When you were just conceived, God's eye was on you, watching you. His gaze was on you. And when the formation of your body had not yet begun, God loved you, knew who you were going to be, knew when you were going to get saved. Knew you'd be sitting here today. That's why I say God never says, well, I'll be. Right? Because only people who are surprised say that. But he's never surprised because he knows all about. How many of you are glad that we have a personal God that knows all about us?
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple. To share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
And I know this is powerful stuff, but let me continue, because God was deeply involved. Not only was he there when we were just conceived, looking at us, gazing at us, but it says he was deeply involved in our ongoing development in the womb. Listen to David. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Formed means made me. And covered means wove or weaved me. God was involved in our formation in the womb. You were not a mass of tissue that was inconsequential. You were a design and a creation of God. The Living Bible puts it this way. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit them together in my mother's womb. Do you see that David, by the Holy Ghost, is attributing our formation in the womb to God? God was like a seamstress, or God was like an artist who wove and shaped us as we went through the first, second, and third trimesters of mama's pregnancy. He decided what our talents and gifts would be, our DNA and genetic codes, our emotional wiring, our physiques. It says, you, God, were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. In other words, in the privacy of my mother's womb. You were there as I was being formed, and you were integrally, intricately involved in it. That's why I say often, you and I were not randomly evolved, but we were beautifully made and are the handiwork of God. And that's what gives you and I value. No wonder suicide rates are at an all-time high among teenagers, because we're teaching them there is no God, there is no purpose, you're the result of random evolution, and there's no real meaning to your life. No wonder they want to check out. And I want to say to them, listen, that's a lie. God made you. God designed you. You've got a plan. You've got a purpose. You've got a destiny. I want you to say with me, he made me. And because he made me, listen, you don't make something. Whoever made this watch made it for a purpose. They made it for a purpose so that I could do this and see if I'm preaching long or not. See, they made it for me to tell time. You got here in a car. The makers did not make that car for it to sit in your driveway and you to stare at it and say, isn't that a beautiful car? They made it to get you somewhere. God did not make you for no reason. God made you with a design in mind, with a plan in his mind. And that's my next point. He has plans for you. Are you glad that God's got plans for you? Do you know what changed my life when I realized that God had made me, designed me, put his hand on me, and had called me, that I had a divine, there was a divine plan and purpose for my life. And when I discovered that I had meaning and purpose, that I was here for a reason, it totally changed my life. So I don't wake up today or any day and say, oh man, what am I going to do with my life now? No, I wake up because I know there's a plan, that God's got a plan for me. And my goal in life is to fulfill that plan, to finish that plan, and to be able to say with Paul, I have finished God's plan for me. I have kept the faith. I've run the race. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm living for God. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He has plans for every one of us. When you got saved, God had a plan for you. He said, well, I know he did, Jeff, to go to heaven. No, that's not his only plan. He has a plan for you here and now. Right here and now. When you got saved, it wasn't just to get you to heaven, but it was so that you would fulfill the plan God has for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you. This is God talking. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Well, what kind of plans, God? Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. You see, without hope, you're not living. You're existing. Without hope, you have no reason to get up and do anything. But when you've got hope, hope says, I've got a confident expectation that something good is coming my way, that God has a plan for me. I wake up with hope. Hope is the oxygen of the soul. And God says, my plans for you are so powerful, so good, so advantageous, that it's to give you a future on this earth and a hope before I take you to heaven. Only a personal God can have plans for you and me. Amen? Now let me give you a couple of the plans. He has planned that we should help others in his name. That's called good works. The Bible says it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Jesus Christ. And listen to this, long ages ago, another version says before time began, he planned, everybody say plan, that we should spend these lives in doing what? Say it with me, helping others. Before time began, God planned for you and me, his children, by being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. He planned that our lives on this earth would be spent in helping others, encouraging others, ministering to others, reaching others in his name. That's called good works. That's his plan. When was the last time you helped somebody in Jesus' name? Just did something in Jesus' name for somebody, prayed for them, invited them to church, shared the gospel with them, helped them do something practical in Jesus' name, because that's what we have been called to do. That's God's plan, and he hatched that plan before time began. Wow. So not only that we would help others in his name, but also God planned that we would be like Jesus. From the very beginning, God decided, planned, that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son. See, it's God's plan that we grow in our spiritual life into the fullness of the stature and the likeness of Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. He saved us, not just to get us to heaven, but so that we would more and more, day by day, year by year, become more like his son. God loved Jesus so much, he wants a bunch of him. Amen? So that we would love like him, think like him, walk like him, be patient like him, merciful like him, touch other people like he did. He went about everywhere doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Can that be said about us, that we go about everywhere doing good, healing all that are oppressed by the devil, reaching out to the afflicted and the needy? That's God's plan. I was eating last week at a Cotton Patch, which is next best to Cracker Barrel. And I was at a cotton patch, and when I went, it was like 4 in the afternoon. I was just grabbing, I love the veggie platters. I just love the veggie platters, you know. And so I wanted one of those, eat healthy, you know, trying to eat healthy. And so I sat down, and I ordered just 4 vegetables, and 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I was thinking, how long does it take to cook some green beans? And so I'm looking at this waiter, and he looks all dazed and confused, and I'm noticing that the people on the tables next to me, they haven't been waited on either. Matter of fact, the waitress brought the table right next to me, a beautiful 2 plates full of great-looking food, and set them down and said, "Where are they?" And I said, "Well, I think they left. They were mad. They weren't getting waited on." And she looked so frustrated and so discouraged. So she walked off, and then I'm seeing this other guy 2 tables down, and he gets up and walks over to her and says, "Well, I'll tell you why they left, because we're not getting waited on." This little girl, it wasn't her fault. And I'm watching her, and I'm thinking, well, just be patient, Jeff. Put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. Put off the flesh. Don't chime in with them. She's hurt enough. Just put on Jesus. So I put on Jesus. I said, "I put on Jesus." How many of you ever done that? I put on Jesus. You know? So finally, they bring me my 4 vegetables that by now are lukewarm. I don't know what's going on in that kitchen. I don't know what's wrong with them. But I'm watching her, and I thought, I could tell by the way that she walked up to the table that had walked away. She threw the meal ticket down frustratedly and walked off hurt. I thought she needed that tip because it was a lot of food. So I said, okay, I can complain or I can put on Jesus, because I'm called to do good things for people, not in my name, in his name, right? So I thought, I'm going to ask her something. I said, "Come here, come here." She thought I was going to chew her out. I said, "Come over here." And she said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "How much was that meal?" And she said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Well, go look. Would you just go look and tell me how much it was?" And she came back and told me. And I calculated the tip. And this is not, listen, I'm nothing. I'm saved by grace. This is not way to go, Pastor Jeff. No, no, I'm nothing. I'm saved by grace. But I am a servant of Jesus. And I knew this lady was having a bad day. And so why am I there at this time, at this place, in this situation? I must be here by divine providence. So I said, "Listen, I want to help you." And I pulled out what would have been a 20% tip, and I gave it to her. It went all over her face. And I said, "Listen, God's been really good to me. And I just want to help you in his name." And she looked at me. I'm telling you, she didn't know what to do, what to think. And right about then, the manager had walked up and saw me do this. And it got real quiet. Because I thought, this lady, she looks like she's had a tough life. She needs this tip like I need a paycheck. So I just gave it to her. It was like the Holy Spirit just said, "That's it." Because I'm not supposed to just work within the 4 walls of the church. I want you to take it out there into the highways and the hedges. And that's God's plan. So I want you to say with me, he's planned that we would be like Jesus. Amen? And so we're to go about everywhere doing good. Now, the last thing I want to mention, he's planned that we would be taken with him to heaven. He has planned that we would be with him in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You are trusting God, now trust in me. There are many homes up there where my Father lives, and I am going to prepare them for your coming. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you can always be with me where I am. And you know where I am and where I'm going and how to get there. Jesus has gone back to heaven and is making plans, getting things ready for our arrival. He's got a plan for us. Amen. Say with me, he knows my name. He knows me. He made me, and he has plans for me. Amen. You know what you are? You're an exclamation point. You're not a question mark. You've got a treasure in you that world out there is dying for.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.